Okay. Today we're going to address a major city in Israel. This is a city which was a major financial center. We know this from a Yerushalmi in Bava Metzia in Perakei Halacha Vav, where the Yerushalmi tells us that there were economic standards. You want to put some extras in the back? Where there were economic standards that were set, and once you had pricing, they had a specific price index that was set, that would affect various business transactions for purposes of ribis, of loans, and how that affects interest. So the Yerushalmi says that once the price index was set in this city, all the nearby towns are going to follow the price index in this city. There's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Ches, where the Gemara in Brachos in the Bavli says that this city, at least at this time, in the times of the Gemara, had 13 shuls. 13 different shuls. And it also has, it's the site of many Kivrei Tzadikim. Now, we can't vouch from a historical standpoint necessarily for all of the Kvarim that are in this place. It's hard to know. Some of them are legendary. Maybe one of the most well-known is Reb Meir Balanes. It's not clear. There's a debate as to whether or not that Reb Meir Balanes is the Reb Meir of the Mishnah. The Rambam is reported to have been buried in this town, although again, that's not 100% clear. But this town is known to us by a specific name. It was named after, actually, a Roman emperor who died in the year 37. His name was Tiberius, which is why when Herod built this city, it was known as Tiberia. So that's going to be the focus of our discussion today, this very important city, Tiberia. I have to apologize because I forgot. I have a giant map, which I left in the office because I wanted to use that for today, but Mirtz Hashem, the next time I remember it, I'll bring it. I want to start with an interesting Gemara, and hopefully we're going to understand how this Gemara relates to us and to this whole story about Tiberia. The Gemara here in source number one tells us that there is a Tanoi. There is a machlokes, a debate between the Tanoim. D'tanya, Meheichan Havlad Notzar. From where is an embryo formed? Interesting question. Now, this Gemara may be interpreted as a biological question, but of course, even if it were to be understood as a biological question, the Gemara is not simply teaching us biology. The Gemara wants us to understand something deep. So the Gemara is asking, where, you know, we know that an embryo is formed from a blastula, from a tiny group of cells that keeps dividing and dividing. So the Gemara wants to know from which part of the body is this embryo formed? Where does it start? Meheichan havlad notzar. So the first opinion of the Mishnah is meirosho, from its head. Does that sound sensible? Sounds sensible. Shenemar mimei imi ata gozai veomer gezin izreich v'hashlichi. That's the first opinion, which is not surprising to you. If you were to say, from a Gemara standpoint, what is the point of departure for a human being? What distinguishes us as being human? What's the spark at the beginning? It's in the Rosh. Right?
Just a quick question. Are you saying what part of the embryo itself forms first?
The Gemara, So let me give the background. The background of this Gemara actually has a lot, it's a hugely controversial topic, and it has to do with something that we refer to colloquially as brain death. Because the Gemara here is trying to ascertain, how do you determine in the case of a calamity, like a building collapse, whether or not somebody who's lying in this rubble is currently alive or not living. And the practical difference is saving their life on Shabbos, whether you're going to bring an excavator and violate all kinds of malachas to save this person's life. So you see this person lying there. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you indicate whether the person is living or not? So in part of that discussion about checking for signs of life, so part of that discussion is, where does the person born from? So the the first Gemara suggestion is that the person is born from their head, and then that would start to connect to the idea that maybe the place where you should check if they're still living would be their head or their nostrils, whether they're breathing. Now you can see how this relates to the question about end-of-life issues. But the Gemara's assumption here, and that's why I said before, it's at first glance, it's a biological observation, but of course it's a much deeper issue, is where is the child started from? Mehechan of Lad Notzar, where is it began from? So the first opinion is that it began from the head, which would make perfect sense to me, that if you were to envision, remember, they didn't have microscopes. This is before Leeuwenhoek, this is before they could actually see on a microscopic level what we can see in terms of the development of the cells. So they saw just this tiny organism growing. They wanted to know what's the first point. So the first point, according to the first stage, is it's the head. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Abishol Omer, Abishol says, Mitiburo. What is the tabur? The tabur is the belly. Now, why would it make sense from a biological standpoint to think about the belly? The conclusion of the Gemara is, Umishaleach Sharashav Eilach Ve'Eilach. And it sends out its shorashim, its roots, here and there. Well, what is it that if you were to look at a child when it's born, you would think that the nourishment is coming from the mother to the embryo through the tabur, through the umbilical cord, which enters into the belly of the child. Beseder? Make sense? Many of us have been children, have seen children. We know what we're talking about here. Yes? Okay. So the question is, what does it mean on a deeper level? The fact that a Vlad's notes are from the Rosh, that I can understand. The Seichel, the Rosh, is what distinguishes and identifies us as people. The fact that we are Notzar from the Tabur, what is the significance of that? What is the meaning of that? So let's put that on the back burner. This city, Tveria, which you see on the top right, that is the symbol of the city of Tveria. If you notice, what is at the bottom? What is that shape, the series of shapes at the bottom meant to look like? Right, the water. Why is it on the water?
On the
That's right. It's on the Kinneret. So if you look on the map on the top, I don't know if it printed so well. And the portion of Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali, on your map, the right side is the Kinneret, what we call today the Yam Kinneret, and right there is going to be Tveria. Well, this city, Tveria, which where you see it now, have anybody here ever been to Tveria? A lot of people have been to Tveria, right? It's in the north of Israel. But when you start to think about it and study it and learn about it, there is a strange dichotomy or even a paradox about the city of Tveria. And that's going to be our goal, is to unravel this paradox a little bit. So what's the best way to visit Tveria? The best way to visit Tveria, like other parts of Eretz Yisrael, is using this sefer. It's a very unusual sefer. And the author is even more unusual in a certain sense. In the end of the 13th century, there was a man. He lived in Provence. He was born in Provence, we think. His name was Rabbi, he became a rabbi, Eshtori Haparchi. His first name was Ishtori. It's a question whether it was one name or was two names. Ishtori, that was his name. His last name was Haparchi, the Florentine, like a flower. His father's name was Moshe. He was raised, his family was a very prominent rabbinic tradition. His grandfather, great-grandfather, was Rav Nosson ben Meir of Trinquetai, also from Provence, who was one of the primary rabbeim of the Ramban, Nachmanides. So he's living in the 14th century, and he's educated in Provence. He moves to France for a while. And then at the beginning of the 14th century, he decides he's going to take a trip. at the beginning of the 14th century, he's going to take a trip to the land of Israel. And he's going to document what he sees, and he's going to teach us right up the laws of the land of Israel. You're talking 900 years ago approximately. 800-900 years ago.
Benjamin of Tudela?
I don't remember when he lived. I think he was 15th century, but I have to check. This is the earliest, most important. This is what we call the time of the Rishonim. He was from the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos, but he didn't live in northern France. He lived in Provence. So he was influenced by people like the Ravid, Rav Avram ben David of Poskier, and others. This work is entitled Kaftor Vaferach. Kaftor Vaferach, now people know it from like the Talis bags. The original Kaftor Vaferach is a book. It's a volume, the very important work. You look, if you turn the page, just look on the back, you have the title page from the original printed. This is the first edition of the Kaftor Vaferach, was published in Po. Where is it printed? Po? What does that say in Hebrew?
Venezia,
not uncommon. Many, many books in the incunabular period were printed in Italy. Printed in Venezia in the year 1549. That's the first time it's published. But this work has huge ramifications. Because how many people in the times of the Rishonim were dealing with the mitzvahs hatluyos baaretz? How many of them saw the land of Israel? Not many. But Rav Eshtori HaParchi did. And he collected all the Gemaras and all the Toseftas and all the Yerushalmis, all the different laws. He put them all together in this book, Kaftor Vaferach. Vaferach is obviously a play on words on HaParchi, his last name. So, when we go to prepare Shiurim on Eretz Yisrael, you know where we're going to look. This is the nice new edition. This is the first of a three-volume set that you can get with footnotes and a whole beautiful introduction about his life. So he divides it up by chapter. So if you want to look up the laws of Truma and Meiser from the Balei HaTosfos era, you could study it, or in the original, in the Kaftor Vaferach. So he also has a section where he talks about each area, each city, and the stuff, the Gemaras that are relevant to that. So in the seventh parak, after he talks about Ashkelon and Aza, he has a section, Ha'ir Tveria. What is a better place to study about Tveria than actually learning Rav Eshtori HaParchi's Kaftor Vaferach? Amazing. So here's where kind of the rub hits the road, because on the one hand, he says something in here which is amazing. Absolutely amazing, and the Lashon is fascinating, but the concept is very strange. Because if you look in source number 2, you see the psikta here? The psikta here has a line, Heilu Yoshve HaMachtesh. In modern Hebrew, what is a machtesh? What's that? Someone said it. Yeah, a crater. So where is a crater? At a very low point. Yoshve HaMachtesh means you're living at the bottom. Way at the bottom. Zu Tveria. This is Tveria. So Tveria happens to be a very low place. I can tell you exactly how far below sea level it is. Hold on. It's important. It is 682 feet below sea level. So it's geographically very low. Well, the places that are low, you're thinking, what's very low below sea level? It's another sea, doesn't have a very good history. Sodom? Oh, it's not Nishgit, you know what I'm saying? Not good. So it's very low on the one hand. So it's Yoshve HaMachtesh. So the Medrash says, Sha'amuka kemachteshes. It's so low, it's low like a crater. That's how low Tveria is. That's what the Vilnai says on Tveria, it's 682 feet below sea level. So when you think of a place that's low, that doesn't give you a very good, inspired, lofty feeling. It sounds like it's got some issues. And yet, There is an amazing line in the Kafta Vaferach. Rav Ashdori Aparchi says the following. B'medrash. There is a medrash. Shetchias hamesim. That Tchias hamesim, the resurrection of the deceased. Yachtim b'tveria arboim shana. Will proceed everywhere else by 40 years. Arboim shana. That's the story. And then he says three words. Baruch hayodea ha'asidos. Blessed is the one who knows the future. It's like a super secret line. I have no idea what that actually means. 40 is a very important number. So 40 means something about creation and rebirth and renewal. So 40 years in the desert, 40 days with the flood, a lot of 40s. So the 40, I can understand a crumb of what it's dropping at us, but that Tchias HaMesim is going to be 40 years before everywhere else. I didn't know that Tchias HaMesim had a geographic location. I don't know anything about Tchias HaMesim. I'm just telling you, that's pretty serious. Right? That's obviously a very core spiritual center. If you're saying that, it sounds like that's the wellspring of Tchias HaMesim. It's from Tveria. So what's the pshat? Is it like a machtesh? Is it very low? Which doesn't have good connotations, or is it the place of the Tchias HaMesim?
Dead or low. I mean, they're buried
below. Okay, so that's true also. Okay. It's not just Tchias HaMesim. Look at this Yalkut Shimoni in page 4, in source 4. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to come back to him in a minute. Where did Rabbi Yochanan live? He knew Tveria because he lived in Israel. He lived in Eretz Israel. He knew this geography very well. And he says, Om Rab Yochanan, Tveria, he mishalemes l'mashiach. Now, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Tveria is the finishing touches for the Mashiach. Shenemar, Timosna ragli, ragli oni, pa'ame dalim. And then, v'huchan b'chesed kisei. So Tveria, it's the place where Tchias HaMesim is going to begin that process, and it's the finishing makom for Mashiach. It's Tveria. So what's the pshat? It sounds like it's a very, very auspicious place. We mentioned before that Tveria and the symbol is associated with water. So someone said that the name of this water is referred to as the Kinneret. But if you look, there is a Tosefta in Sukkah that refers to this body of water as Yama Shel Tveria. It's actually referred to as the Sea of Tveria because Tveria is on the water. It's actually along the coast of the water. The Gemara has an observation that we saw before that Tveria is in the portion of Naphtali. And so Naphtali, one of their main sources of livelihood, their economy, was fishing. And so there's a line in Chazal that other tribes are not allowed to fish there. There are maritime restrictions that when a Klal Yisrael, everybody, you want to take out a boat on Tveria, Gesundheit, but you can't fish there because that fishing industry is to support the people from Naphtali. So the Yam of Tveria is one body of water. But that's not the only body of water in Tveria. What other water is actually associated with Tveria?
There are hot springs.
That's right. So the Gemara and Shabbos, in a couple of places, you'll see in the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Mem, wants to know, what do we do? What's the halachic status of what we call Chamei Tveria? Chamei Tveria means the hot water of Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria. There's a separate section in the Kafta Vaferach after he talks about the ear Tveria. Then he has a separate section, Al Chamei Tveria. So I'm thinking about this, and I think it's very interesting that in one respect, the Yam of Tveria the water of Tveria is associated with the Yam. On the other hand, it's associated with the hot springs. That's a problem. There is another sefer, and I'll explain to you why it's a problem. You look on the back page. This sefer was authored by a European Rav. He died in the 1930s. It's an entire sefer. You see what it's called? Tabur Haaretz, which we'll talk about why in a few minutes. Authored by Rav Moshe Kliers. What's the sefer about? You see where it says on the top? Kulo Yedaber Meir HaKodesh Tveria. An entire sefer devoted to Tveria. That's the name of the sefer, Tabur Haaretz. It's all about Tveria. So he has a chapter in chapter 9 where he says the following. You ready? This is against some midrashim, but there are other sources, and he quotes from, especially from Mekubalim, that apparently, according to the Mekubalim of Tzfas, there is a place in the what we call the Kinneret, or what they call in Chazal the Yam Shel Tveria, where the Be'er Miriam is hidden. The well of Miriam is apparently, according to a Kabbalistic tradition, in the depths of the Kinneret. And there's a story about the Ari HaKadosh that he took someone out on a boat and he pointed to them and he says, down there is the Be'er Miriam. It's the well of Miriam. And you're thinking, wow, the water of the Yam Shel Tveria is coming from the Be'er of Miriam. Incredible. It's against the Midrashim that assume that the Be'er was left somewhere in the desert. It's very amazing. So that's on the one hand. But where did these Chamei Tveria heat up? So there is a legend in Rav Avram Yari, and there are some sources to support this. Where do they come from? He quotes from Chachmei Yisrael Mesaprim, Almei Chamei Tveria Hazorumim. They are flowing, they're bubbling. It's a spring. Why are they hot? Va'ovrim al piskol shel gehenim. Azoizakt. That's what he says. They come from down, way down, natural springs from the center of the earth. But the truth is that they're heated by gehenim. So I'm very confused. Is this place, Tveria, supposed to be associated with lowness, with a machtesh, with a crater, and water that's heated from Gehenim? Or is it supposed to be associated with Tchias HaMesim and Mashiach and the Be'er Miriam? I'm confused. You hear? I'm not the only one confused, right? Okay. So perhaps what we need to think about is that this, it's not necessarily a paradox. Rather, it's a dual identity. And I'll explain to you what I mean. Tveria was named when?
That would be before the destruction of the temple.
That's right. It's named in the first century, built by Herod, which means Tveria is not a biblical name at all. You will not find Tveria in Tanakh. But will you find a city that precedes Tveria? You will. You will find. This is a very important resource when you're studying geography in Eretz Yisrael as it relates to Tanakh. It's called the Atlas Das Mikra. It's published by Mossad Rav Kook as part of the Das Mikra Tanakh series. And so in here, you have a lot of maps that they drew up based on the different parts of Tanakh, stories where, and then Chazal, where these cities were, where those cities were, where they were coming, where they were going, to find lots of different maps in here. If you look on the map, as we're going to see, well, you won't be able to see it from there, but next time when I have the big map, you would find that there was a biblical city in the spot that today we call Tveria. And it's not just that there was one city, but there were two. Two cities. And let's understand what this means in light of the Gemara. Because until, I can tell you honestly, until as I was preparing this, I don't think, I really understood what this Gemara meant, or how this Gemara could be explained. I have learned this Masechta, Maseches Megillah, many times, maybe 10 or 15 times in my life. But now I actually understand this line, which I did not understand before. Because the Gemara presents a very strange machlokas. Look at source number 5. This is quoting Rabbi Yochanan on the top line. Chamas zu Tveria. There was a biblical city. It was called Chamas. That, says Rabbi Yochanan, is Tveria. That's Tveria. V'loma nikra shma Chamas. Why is it called Chamas? Al shum chame Tveria. Because of chama, hot, cham. The water was hot. So it was cold. So Tveria was actually Chamas. That's Rabbi Yochanan. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He saw it. That's what he says. That was his tradition. Chamas is Tveria. What about the next city? Rakas. Rakas, which is mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua. Rakas, that's Tzipori. Why is it called Rakas? Because it's elevated like the rocks of Dinahara. And then he talks about another city, Kinneret. Beautiful. What are you talking about, says Rava. Rava is three generations later. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, with all due respect to you, I'm living in bubble, but I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't work out. Go to 5 lines down. Rava says, Amar Rava, mi ika lamanta Amar, is there anyone who says, Rakas, that Rakas lav Tveria hi? Everyone knows that Rakas is Tveria. That's what it is. And he goes on to prove that when people would die, and they would sometimes be carried from Bavel to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, many of them, Kivri Tzadikim, were buried in Tveria. And they had a whole poem that they would say about these great sages who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they were buried in Rakas. They were buried in Tveria. So Rava says to Rabbi Yochanan, what are you talking about? It's not that Chamas was Tveria. Rakas is Tveria. So I don't think I ever paid attention to this when I learned this Gemara, ever, in all the times I learned it. What are they talking about? What are they arguing about? And why are they arguing? Why does it matter? And how could it be that they're arguing about what city it was? Either it was this city or that. How did they not know? What's the answer? It's both. There were two cities in antiquity on the water. One, imagine this is the Yam Kinneret in the blue, and this is the shore. One was here, it was called Rakas, Rekas. This Rakas is identified in Tanakh. It's a city in the land of Naphtali. Just at the southern edge of this city is a city called Chamas, from the Chame Tveria. On the place of these two cities is the modern city that was built by the Romans called Tveria. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you want to really understand the identity of Tveria, you have to associate it with Chamas, with the Chame Tveria. And Rava says, I'm not disagreeing with you that there's Chame Tveria, but I'm telling you, it's really Rakas. It's really Rakas. They're telling you that this place has two dimensions. There is a dual identity of the city of Tveria. And you're thinking, this works, doesn't it? Not so sure yet, but we'll try, if I can prove it to you. A yam, the word yam, if you look in the Sefer Shari Ora, which is the Sefer of Kabbalah from Yosef Ibn Jikatil, he says that yam is associated with malchus, with Hashem's presence in the world. It's the reservoir of sanctity from which we draw. So Yama Shel Tveria, on the one hand, is a reservoir of holiness. On the other hand, these Mayanos, some Sfarim quote that they, you know where the wellsprings When did we have wellsprings that were opened up under the earth? When in Tanakh did we have wellsprings that were opened up and water came up from below? Yes, May Noach. So some Svarim say, you know where the Mayonos of the Chamei Tveria, they're coming from the residual effect of the marble that was never sealed. That I would not want to be associated with that. Right? You're not surprised that it's associated with Pischo Shel Gehenim. Because in the days of Noach, the Mayim was associated with Din, not with the Yama Shel Kedusha. These two places, Rakas and Hamas, are two sides of the same coin. It's their Yetzer Tov, it's the capacity for good, for Kedusha, but it's also the innate capacity for challenge, for difficulty. Yeah. So two places. Right? Niftachu Mayanos Taum Rabba va'arubos Hashamayim. So Arubos Hashamayim, that came from the top. But Niftachu Mayanos Tahom Rabba meant that there were subterranean springs that were opened up, both from the bottom and from the top. So Tveria is this place in which you have both channels in this world. Zelu Mazebor Elokim. The Rabbono Shalom gave us the capacity to choose the Yam of Kedusha, the Be'er Miriam, or to go a different way. Not to be Novea, not to draw water from that. Now I understand why it's called Tveria. So look at the second to last line in this Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Rakas Shema. Rabbi Yirmiyah was an Amora who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He made Aliyah, and he's telling you, I'm telling you, Rakas, the ancient city of Rakas from the Tanakh, that's Tveria. V'loma nikra Shema Tveria. Why is it called Tveria? Sheyosheves betibura shel Eretz Yisrael. It is sitting at the tabur, the navel of the land of Israel. So look on the map. You will notice there's a big debate about how far north the land of Israel goes, but your umbilical cord is not attached to you at your waist, halfway down. It's farther up. So they looked at Tveria on the map and they say, oh, it's kind of like more than halfway up. So that's like your tabur. It's like your umbilical cord, your belly button. So Tveria and tabur are the same word. Happens to be that it was historically named after a guy by the name of Tiberius, but the reason why, Alpi, the Hishtalshalus, that the name of this place in Eretz Yisrael, could be that the only reason that Tiberius was the emperor, and he was not an emperor for a very long time, was just that we should get the name Tveria. Who knows? I mean, only the Boreolum knows that. But Tveria means there's the tabur. So now we go back to the beginning. What happens at the tabur? At the person, according to Abba Shoal, at the person's inception, at the person's birth, they are birthed, so to speak, in Tveria. They are nourished by two kinds of waters, potentially. The Gemara says in Nida that when an embryo, that Vlad, is in utero, there's a malach that comes and says, take a shvua, Tehit Tzadik Va'alti Rasha. Choose the right path, because there are two paths in front of you. The tabur, the Gemara said, according to Abba Shoal, that's the Vlad is Notzar from there. That's the point of creation from a person. So Tveria, being at the tabur Haaretz, the umbilical point of the world and of Eretz Yisrael, means that when we dig deep there, we find both the Be'er Miriam, the Shoresh of the Holiness, the waters of Kedusha, the Yam, but you also find the Pischo Shel Gehenim. It's like the Rebbe Shem said to Kain, La Pesa Chatas Roveitz, watch out. You have two paths. What are you going to choose? So in that respect, it seems to me that it's not a contradiction. It's a choice. It's the two paths of life on which we go. What waters are we going to drink? And it's also true that not all of Gehenim is bad. Tov ma'od ze yetzer hara. You can heal your skin ailments. People came from antiquity from all over to go to the Chamei Tveria because you can elevate. You can bring up Usha'af to Mayim Esos, and you can take the water even that went by Pesach Shel Gehenim, and you can channel it to something positive. Starts at the Tabur. It's all where you're going to take it. And I think, you'll tell me if you think this is correct, I think you could take it even one step further. Because a Tabur, the belly, the navel, is round. So it's not the pshat that there's the Pesach Shel Gehenim, and then there's the Pesach of Gan Eden, the Be'er Miriam, the opening of Gehenim. It's that the world, the Rabbeinu Shem created the world in a circle. That we go through periods when we feel like we're mamish at the bottom of the machtesh. It's very so low. It's near the entrance of Gehenna. We feel like we're mamish at the bottom. But what we are reminded of is that that's okay. Because in the same circle, there's no beginning and end. We make our way back up to the top. We get back to the Yama Shel Tveria. They're connected to each other. It's a cycle. It's a circle. It's not just two opposite poles. So look at this Rambam. And if the Rambam didn't print it, and I would tell you that the Rambam said this, you'd say, ah, Baba Mises. Look at this Rambam. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Betchila, at the beginning, Kishenivna Beis HaMikdash Hayu Bezdin HaGadol Yoshvim Belishkas HaGazis. Originally, the great court, the Bez and HaGadol, was sitting in their office, Shahaya Be'ezras Yisrael, that was in the Beis HaMikdash, in this section called Ezras Yisrael. V'amakom sheyoshvin bochol haya. And the place, if we were to open a map, and I could diagram for you the Beis HaMikdash, imagine this wall is the Beis HaMikdash. So this section is the Kodesh, and this section here is not technically holy to the same extent as the Azara. The Azara is the inner courtyard. That's here. This is outside. What they did was they built an office. They had several offices like this, which were built like this, right on the edge. So you had a portion of the office that was on the inside in the holy area, and then you had a portion that was on the outside. So the Lishkas HaGazis was built just on the edge. It was on the outside of the Azara. It was on the Temple Mount, but it was on the outside of the Azara. Why was it on the outside of the Azara? The Rambam says, She'en yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchus beis David. They were not allowed, you were not, if you went to the Beis HaMikdash, even the Kohanim, you were not allowed to sit in the Azara, in the sanctuary. The only person who was allowed to sit there was the Melech, the king, from the Davidic kingdom. That was it. So here are the Sanhedrin. They're in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're sitting in a section that's called a chol. Oh. Says the Rambam, and there are several midrashim that he's drawing on for this, when the line, Shura is a line, when the line was broken, when the Jewish people strayed from the path, when we lost our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Aleinu, what happened? Golu mimakom lomakom. The Sanhedrin, this was 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they picked up and they left. They left the Beis HaMikdash, they left Yerushalayim.
Which destruction?
Second. This is parallel to what the Medrash describes happened to the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah also, Kiviyachol, picked himself up. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I can't stay here like this. And he picked himself up and he left. And that's how the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they could destroy the Beis HaMikdash. How could they destroy the Beis HaMikdash if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Shekhinah is there? The answer is he left. So the Rambam says, the Sanhedrin also left. The rabbinic court picked themselves up and they left. There's halachic nafkaminas of this. Ula asarim bekomos galu. And they were exiled to 10 different places. They made their way from Yerushalayim away. Uvisofan Litveria. They ended their journey in Tveria. And from there, it was disbanded. The Sanhedrin ceased functioning after Tveria. Umisham, and from there, Lo Omad Beis Din Gadol Ad Ata. Until today, the Rambam says, no Beis Din HaGadol stood. That's the last time. The Kabbalah he, and we have a tradition, Bitveria, in Tveria, Asidin Lachzor Tchila. The Beis Din HaGadol is going to first, La'asid Lavo, and maybe today, Halavai should be today, is going to first reconvene in Tveria. And then they're going to go back to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Umisham Natkin LaMikdash. From there, we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So on the one hand, Tveria represents destruction. It represents lowness. It represents the end of the Sanhedrin. It represents the Pesach of Gehenna. But on the other hand, the Rambam says that's not the end of the story. There's always a brighter day. So maybe at that time it was gone, it was finished. But the same way that there are people, someone mentioned, that are buried, it's the Makom of Kvarim. What's going to happen with Tchias HaMesim, the first place for Tchias HaMesim? It's Tveria. It's the place for Mashiach. It's the place the Rambam says, Lahalacha. We have a Kabbalah that the Sanhedrin will be convened in Tveria. Because it's not one dimension. It's a circle. It's a cycle. And we all go through this cycle. Each one of us, we have a little Tveria. Some of us like water sports, especially. Some of us go to hot springs. But it means that we have a Makom, a place from which we were notzar, from which we were created. That is in the Tabur. We all have that Tabur from where we were created. And that Tabur has a Yetzer Hara and has a Yetzer Atov. It has the Mayonos that are coming from the Meinoach, from the Pischo Shel Gehenim, but it also has the Be'er Miriam, the well of sweetness, of water, of sanctity. And so we are reminded that even when our Tveria feels like it's the Churban, it's destroyed, it's broken, but don't worry, the Rambam says, it's the same place. It's not just Hamas. The word Chama also comes from the word Chema, anger, Midas Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyachul, so to speak, says it's not okay. But that Hamas is also connected to, it's the same place as Rakas. What does the Gemara say? Why is Tveria called Rakas? Why Rakas? Afilu Reikonin Sheba Malayim Mitzvos Karimon. Even the rake, the empty people, Rakas from the word rake, the empty people, they have tons of mitzvos. No Jew is ever nidach. No Jew is ever pushed away that they are lost. The Sanhedrin will always come back. They'll come back. Where are they going to come back? To the city of Tveria. Halavai, we should all be able to tap into that koach in ourselves and bring our own inner, the Mashiach Tzidkenu, with the Sanhedrin, with the Tchias HaMesim, Meher V'Yameinu. Amen. Amen.